He heard Hua scratching around in the sandy soil. "You won't be able to dig me out, Hua," she said, but the rat kept scratching until he had made his way to her left hand. Then she felt the rat place something in her palm. It was cold and smooth, but had a sharp edge. She knew exactly what it was. It was the shard of dragon bone. "Hua, you always know what I want, even before I do." She touched the shard with her fingertips, feeling its smoothness and its sharpness. She felt her mind focus. She concentrated again, imagining her body covered all over with tiny ink dots, each one no bigger than a needle prick. She drew chi power from every single dot. She could feel the grainy surface of the rock pressing against her right cheek. This time she focused on just one small point on the boulder, a single grain of sand. The rest of the boulder didn't exist. The ravine didn't exist. There was nothing in the world but that one grain of sand. Sweat dripped from her brow. She felt the power within her form into the narrowest of beams. She focused it on the grain of sand. The boulder shifted. It tipped sideways, crashing over with a rush of air and a thud that shook the earth beneath her. A cloud of dust slowly settled. The strip of blue sky above the ravine was the most beautiful thing Ping had ever seen. She didn't move. She could feel Hua's whiskers against her cheek. She tried to turn towards him but couldn't. There wasn't a shoe of strength left in her body. The rat ran off again. Ping was sore and bruised, but she knew that she hadn't broken any bones. It was her head that hurt most, where the smaller rock had hit her. It ached and burned and made it hard for her to think. She had to think, she knew that, but she didn't want to. There were images from before the rockfall. Not moving memories, just three still pictures, as if someone had painted those moments so she wouldn't forget them. She wished she could forget them. She wanted to go back to before the rockfall and make things happen a different way. She looked at the three pictures. The first was of Dong Fang Suo. He was sitting silently in the carriage. There had been something different about the Imperial Magician that had been troubling her all that morning, and she finally realized what it was. He had stopped smiling. The second picture was of a snake, a black and orange snake that wouldn't release her gaze. She'd seen another snake like that before, back on Tai Shan, the day the necromancer had killed her goat. The snake was the shape-changed necromancer, she was sure of it. He had sent the boulder down to kill her. The final picture was of Kai. He had his ball clenched in his teeth. He was half turned away from her, half turned towards Jun. His eyes were hard, like small brown pebbles. She was sure that Dong Fang Suo was in league with the necromancer. Together they had conspired to kill her. She had told Liu Che that Kai could identify any potential dragon keepers. It was just an excuse so that the emperor would let her bring him along. But Kai had done his job well. Too well. He had convinced Dong Fang Suo that Jun wasn't just a potential dragon keeper, but the only one. The bamboo books had said clearly that dragon keepers were always the sons of either the Yu or the Huan family. Jun was left-handed, he had second sight, and he could hear Kai's words in his head. He had all the attributes of a dragon keeper. She had handed him the Dragon Keeper's mirror herself. And Kai had liked him from the beginning. Had Kai accepted Jun as his keeper? It was the only reason she could think of for the misery she felt. The loss of Kai was more painful than all her wounds and bruises. Just saying his name aloud hurt. It was as if she'd lost part of herself, some piece of her body that was as essential for life as her heart or lungs. She couldn't feel his presence, couldn't feel the thread joining her to him. But she was sure he wasn't dead. She would have known if he was. Tears streamed down her face. How could she have believed that she was such an important person as an Imperial Dragon Keeper? What had come over her? Her life ever since she left Huang Ling seemed like a dream that she'd just woken from. The sort of dream where the more you think about it, the harder it is to remember. One by one, the details of this previous dream life faded, until all memory of it vanished completely. Chapter 22. A Field of Cabbages. Hua returned with another nectar-filled flower. Ping felt the few drops of sweet liquid moisten her tongue and run down her throat. A tiny amount of strength returned to a spot somewhere near her left elbow. She used it to roll, slowly, painfully, onto her side. Then she could see Hua. His eyes were the color of the sky. He was such a handsome rat, even with the chunk missing from his ear. She would have told him so, but she didn't want to waste her energy in speaking. She had a big challenge ahead of her. She had to stand up. Getting to her feet would take more energy than she had. Walking was unimaginable. She didn't like the dark cliffs. She hated the way they loomed over her, threatening to come crashing down on her at any moment. She looked up at the strip of blue. She liked the blue. If she could get away from the rock, there would be more blue. Hua sat beside her. Every so often he squeaked as if encouraging her to get up. She moved one muscle, then another. It took so much concentration to move an arm, to turn her head. She knew that once she'd been able to run to get away from bad people. She knew she had done many complicated things like chopping vegetables, washing gowns. How clever her body had been once upon a time. She got to her knees. Then she had to rest for several minutes. It might have been longer, but she was determined. She would stand. Her body felt as if it were made from rags. It seemed impossible that it could stand upright and support her weight without sagging and falling over. But Ping had already achieved the impossible once that day. She had to do it again. It took her a long time, but at last her weak, aching limbs agreed to take her weight, first on her knees, then on her feet. The dark rock walls rose up on either side of her. They were falling. She covered her head with her arms, but no rocks came crashing down. She looked up again, then closed her eyes to stop the dark rocks spinning around her head. It was just dizziness. With a great effort, Ping lifted one foot and moved it forward. She stopped to rest. She didn't know where she was going. She looked forward and then back. The twists in the ravine meant that she couldn't see the road ahead or the road behind her. Which way would she go? It didn't seem to matter. All she had to do was get away from the oppressive cliff walls. She lifted her other foot. She kept moving forward. It saved her the effort of having to turn around. Eventually, her legs became used to supporting her again. Her feet remembered how to walk without her having to remind them to take every step. Hua ran alongside her as she stumbled along, occasionally squeaking encouragement. The steep cliffs on either side of the road slowly shrank to softer hills and then leveled out to rocky, uneven ground. Grass and bushes found places to grow. She was out of the ravine at last, but there was no blue. The sky had turned grey. Ping stopped to rest. She was afraid that if she sat down, she wouldn't be able to get up again. She kept walking. It was cold. Very cold. Her fingers and toes were numb. It grew dark. Water started to drip from the grey sky. She tilted her head back and opened her mouth to drink. What was that called? Rain. It drenched her, but she kept walking. She couldn't remember where she was going. She was sure there was something important she should be doing. Every now and again, Ping stopped dead in her tracks, overcome by a feeling that she had lost something. But she couldn't remember what it was. She touched the side of her aching head. It was sticky. She looked at her fingers, but it was too dark to see what the sticky stuff was. If she didn't know where she was going, what was the point of continuing? She stopped walking and sat down. Hua brought her some berries. She didn't have the strength to eat them. Her eyelids were heavy, so she closed them. When Ping opened her eyes, it was daylight. She didn't know where she was. She was wet and cold, but her face was burning, her head throbbing. It wasn't raining, but she could hear the sound of running water. There was a stream, fast flowing and deep. She crawled to it and drank deeply. She splashed cold water on her face. The stream was slurping and gurgling around rocks in a hurry to get somewhere. Since she had nowhere to go, she would follow the stream. Ping trudged along the muddy bank, not looking ahead, placing one muddy foot in front of the other. Perhaps the stream was going to ocean. She had been going to ocean once, but she couldn't think why. Perhaps she never got there. Perhaps that was where she was supposed to be going now. Then she lost the stream. It snuck away when she wasn't looking. She kept going anyway. She walked straight ahead, through woods, over fields. The sun wasn't shining, but she was hot, very hot. She was shivering, but sweat dripped off her. Now she was in the middle of a field of cabbages. Someone was shouting at her, waving a hoe. People were gathering around her like flies around ox dung. It seemed like such a long time since she'd seen a face. They all looked so funny with their different shaped noses sticking out of the middle. She laughed. Some of them wore short aprons around their waists. Some held spades. They all had dirty hands. They were talking, but she couldn't make any sense of their babbling. Ping's stomach suddenly began turning somersaults. The crowd parted and one woman stepped forward. The babble of voices died. The woman spoke and her words made sense. "What happened to you?" The woman's voice echoed in her ears. It reverberated inside her head. Ping felt dizzy. The voice spoke again. "Where are you from?" Ping looked at the woman who was speaking. A word exploded inside her head. She tried to say the word, but her mouth had gone dry. Silver dust specks filled her eyes. The world was spinning again. Ping woke inside a house that smelt of beeswax. She was lying on a couch, covered with a blanket made of undyed silk. Someone was leaning over her, splashing her face with cool water that smelt of jasmine flowers. It wasn't the woman in the cabbage field. It was a girl. The girl called out to someone inside the room. "She's awake!" She sounded annoyed, as if she had better things to do than watch over a swooning stranger. The girl would have been pretty if she wasn't scowling. Her hair was in a neat knot, held in place with three combs, even though she couldn't have been more than 9 years old. Far too young to be wearing combs in her hair. The couch was in a well-furnished room. There was a polished table with legs carved into the shape of bears. The polished tabletop, which balanced on the bears' heads, was the source of the beeswax smell. A silk painting hung on one wall. It was a picture of a scholar standing under a bough laden with cherry blossom. A woman entered the room. It was the woman from the cabbage field. She was carrying a small boy. "Are you feeling better?" the woman asked, putting the child down. Ping felt the whirling sensation. She didn't dare look at the woman in case she fainted again. The emotion swirling inside made her tremble. There was fear, joy, and anger, mixed with a desperate longing. Ping opened her mouth, but couldn't speak. "What's wrong with her?" said the girl impatiently. "Is she dumb?" Ping looked at the woman's face. Her cheeks were plump, her lips soft. Her hair was neatly coiled, but there were grey strands among the black. Her eyes were lined with black, to accentuate their lovely shape. They were full of concern for the stranger lying on her couch. "Your fever has broken," she said. The woman's gown was made of finely spun hemp, dyed dark blue. It had bands around the neck and cuffs in matching blue satin embroidered with small yellow flowers. Ping pulled the length of red silk thread from under her gown. Her hand shook as she held out the bamboo square. The character on it was now almost too faint to read, but the woman's face changed as soon as she saw it. The color in her cheeks faded. The concern in her eyes changed to shock. The girl peered at the character. "It says Ping." The woman nodded as she continued to stare at Ping. Now it was she who was speechless. Ping finally allowed herself to speak the word that had exploded in her mind back in the cabbage field. "Mother." Chapter 23. Reunion. Ping wanted to throw her arms around her mother. She wanted to touch her, to hold her hands in her own. But her mother didn't move. She didn't speak. She just stared at Ping. The expression in her eyes wasn't one of unexpected joy. It seemed to Ping more like hurt. A man came into the room. He was tall and well-dressed. "This is Ping," Ping's mother said in a whisper. His brow furrowed. He looked at his wife. "My eldest child," Ping's mother explained. "Ping, this is your stepfather, Master Chang." The man looked at Ping in surprise. "Well," was all he could manage to say. He had the dark skin of a man who worked out in the sun, a thick moustache, and a tuft of hair growing beneath his bottom lip. His serious face broke into a smile, and he called for a servant to bring some broth. "We were wondering who this stranger was who stumbled into our fields 2 days ago. We never imagined." He shook his head in wonder. "What happened to you? Were you on your way to visit your mother after all these years? Did you have an accident?" What had happened to her? Ping couldn't remember. "I've cleaned the wound on your head," Ping's mother said. "It should start to heal now. It was a nasty blow. It must have caused you some memory loss." The servant handed her a lacquered cup. Ping raised it to her lips with shaking hands and sipped the broth. "Take your time," Master Chang said. "It will all come back." Ping's mother was now bathing a cut on her hand. "You are holding a broken piece of stone. It was an unusual purple color," she said. "You held it so tight, it cut your hand." Ping was wearing a thin shift. She knew it wasn't hers. She looked around. There was a gown on the end of the bed. It was dark red with a diamond pattern woven through it in green. The collar and cuffs were made of green silk. On top of the gown was a piece of purple stone. "Your things are safe," the girl said sulkily, "if that's what you're looking for." The girl handed her a white jade seal on a purple ribbon and a silk pouch. Ping held the jade in her hand. There was a dragon carved on one end. One corner was chipped. With trembling fingers, she reached for the purple shard. Then she looked inside the pouch. There was a dull, rough thing about the size of a beech leaf. At first she didn't know what it was. Then she remembered. It was a dragon's scale. Memories dripped back into her mind like raindrops from the corner of a roof. She remembered Huangling Mountain and a big green dragon. She remembered a dark, scary night and the sharp smell of pickle cooking. Her mind seemed to know that she couldn't cope with remembering everything all at once. She remembered a beautiful purple stone with creamy swirls and flying high above the world. She remembered meeting the emperor. She saw him smile at her. There was a garden. With each drip, the pain grew. She remembered the journey to interview the Yu family. She remembered a carriage racing away and leaving her behind, a boulder crashing from the cliff top. The final drops of memory trickled into Ping's mind. She remembered Kai and how he'd been taken from her. She lay back on the couch and longed for forgetfulness to return. "I think she's going to faint again," said the girl, without a hint of concern. "Don't crowd round her," Master Chang said. "Open the shutters, May."
"Would you tell me about my childhood?" Ping whispered. "I have no memory of it."
Her mother sat in silence for a moment. From her face, Ping could tell it wasn't going to be a happy tale. She sipped the broth to give her strength to hear it. "Your father worked in the cinnabar mines. I never saw him from 1 year to the next. Then the work made him sick and he came home," her mother said. "Just after your first brother was born." She didn't look at Ping as she spoke, but stared into her lap. "I made a little money weaving bamboo baskets and hats to sell in the market, but I never earned enough to keep hunger very far away. It was a blessing from heaven
when Master Lan knocked on the door. The dizziness returned. Ping put the bowl down before she dropped it. "A blessing?" she said in a small voice. "He came to see your first brother. He said that the Huan family had a right to an imperial position. Apparently one of your father's ancestors had held the position, and it should have been passed on from father to son. But for some reason, only left-handed boys could take up the position. Neither your father nor grandfather was left-handed." Master Lan pulled a plum from his bag and handed it to your first brother. He reached for it with his right hand. When he'd finished eating it, Master Lan asked him to toss the plum stone outside. Your first brother threw the stone with his right hand too. "We begged Master Lan to accept him for the position, even though he wasn't left-handed." "What difference does it make which hand he uses?" I said. "He will work hard like his father. His father worked himself almost to death." "But he wouldn't take him." Ping's mother stole a glance at Ping, as if she couldn't bear to look at her for too long. "Then Master Lan noticed you winding thread onto a reel for me."
"She uses the left hand," he said.
We couldn't understand why he was suddenly interested in you. Only men can take up imperial positions.
"Does she ever seem to know in advance anything that's going to happen?" he asked.
I thought it was a very strange thing to inquire about. "But as it happened, you did say something odd just before a neighbor died. I thought she just had an upset stomach, but you said, 'Auntie will be gone by morning.'
She died the next day."
Master Lan was very interested when I told him this. It seemed that, like Jun, Ping had also had the beginnings of second sight before she had ever laid eyes on a dragon. "Your first brother was sick," Ping's mother was saying, "and he wasn't getting better because he didn't have enough to eat. I knew I couldn't keep two children alive, so when he offered to take you to train as a lady's maid, I agreed. If one child could live well and not be hungry, that was a good thing." Tears started to roll down Ping's mother's face. "Your father didn't last the year out. Your first brother died 2 months later." Master Chang put his hand on her shoulder to comfort her. "I expected to hear from you once you were settled in the palace," Ping's mother continued. "Master Lan said that after a year or two of training, you would receive a generous allowance, and since all your needs would be provided for, you'd be able to send most of it to me." Ping could hardly believe her ears. Had Master Lan known that she was a dragon keeper all along and told no one? Had he made her his slave so that he could keep the position himself? She opened her mouth to speak, but no words came out. "I sent a letter to Chang'an to tell Master Lan that I had moved to another town," Ping's mother continued, "but I never received any money." The sulky girl was standing with her arms folded. "I suppose she was too busy to send any."
"Shh, Mei," said Master Chang. "Let your stepmother finish."
"Heaven chose to smile on me, though," Ping's mother continued, wiping her eyes and patting her husband's hand. Master Chang had just lost his first wife. He had a young child and no one to care for her. He saved me from poverty and despair." Ping still didn't speak, but thoughts were crowding her mind. How could she have let her young daughter go? How could she have not seen through Lan's lies? Master Chang smiled at his second wife. It took years of hard work, but we are comfortable now. Not as comfortable as she's been at the Imperial Palace, said May. Though Ping's gown was splattered with mud, it was made of fine cloth, and her undergarment was padded with silk floss. They looked like they belonged to a rich woman. She had gold in her pouch, a silver comb in her hair, and a jade seal of office hanging from her waist. Ping couldn't deny that she was well off. I wish I could live in a palace and not in this ordinary house, May said. Master Chang frowned at his daughter. May, go and tell Yi Min that there will be a guest eating with us tonight. The girl glared at Ping and stomped off to the kitchen. It's amazing, said Master Chang, as if he'd just heard a storyteller's tale. Chance brought you here. And on the very day that your mother was in the fields to help with the final harvest before the snow. Ping knew it wasn't chance that had brought her. She hadn't been wandering aimlessly at all. Even though her mind was dazed with fever, her second sight had chosen her path for her. Ping wanted to tell them that the imperial position Master Lan had given her was as his slave, that she'd had to sleep in the ox shed and clean pigsties. But there had been too much misery, too many years of loneliness and hunger to express in words. I was taken to Huang Ling Palace, not Chang'an, she said instead.
Where's that? Asked Master Chang. I've not heard of it.
It's on the edge of the empire, far to the west. Your letter never reached me. Even if it had, Ping knew that Master Lan would have destroyed it. Her mother believed that she had been living in imperial comfort. Ping wanted to pour it all out, every minute of unhappiness, every blow, every cruel word. She wanted to shake May and tell her how lucky she was. She wanted to explain how it felt to be so cold you couldn't sleep, so hungry you'd eat scraps from the pig trough, so lonely you had no one in the world to turn to but a rat. May had something that was worth more than gold, more than fine clothes. She had a family. Her mother had the plump, fragrant skin of a wealthy woman, but Ping could read her history in the lines on her face and the sorrow behind her eyes. The unexpected arrival of her daughter had ripped open a place inside her that she'd kept closed for years. If Ping told her the truth, it would only make her unhappy. Ping didn't want that. Master Chang took hold of the little boy's hand and pulled him out from the protection of his mother's gown.
This is your second brother,
Liang, he said. Hello, Ping said. The little boy was too shy to speak. He peeked at Ping and then looked down at the floor. Ping's mother and stepfather asked her many questions about her life. She described the palace at Huang Ling, even though she'd only seen it in the dark, on the occasion she'd snuck in at night to explore. She spoke about the old emperor, though she'd only met him once and had been under arrest at the time. She told them about the lovely Garden of the Purple Dragon. She proudly told them of her friendship with the young emperor.
What exactly are your duties, Ping? Her stepfather asked.
I was the imperial dragon keeper, she answered. Even though she'd lost the position, she couldn't stop a little bit of pride creeping into her voice. May giggled. Dragon keeper? There's no such thing as dragons. Everyone knows that. In that comfortable house, there was no hunger or hardship,
and a busy town bustled outside the doors. Dragons didn't seem to have a place there. Ping had no desire to change their minds. It was better this way. She wouldn't have to tell them the whole heartbreaking story. Dragon Keeper is the title the position has had since ancient times, Ping said. I was in charge of the care of some of the imperial animals. That wasn't too far from the truth. I supervised their feeding and training. She told him about the Emperor's plan to turn the tiger forest into a reserve for wild animals from all over the Empire. The color had returned to Ping's mother's face. After hearing about the palace and her daughter's comfortable life at Ming Yang Lodge, her smile returned. "That's not at all what I expected you to be doing," said her mother. "I thought you'd be a lady's companion, or an embroiderer." "But you talk about it as if it's in the past," Master Chang said. "Yes," Ping replied. "I no longer have the position." Now that she had found them, Ping wanted to stay with her family. Her previous life had evaporated like water in summer sun. She hoped she could have a new life with them. Even if they didn't want the burden of another daughter, she could stay as a servant. She could work in the fields. Anything, as long as she could be with them. In this house, she could be happy. She could forget about her failure as a dragon keeper. The little boy, Liang, came over to the couch. He had seen something move next to Ping. He lifted the blanket that was covering her, and Hua's head popped out. Mei screamed. The rat's bright blue eyes blinked as he suddenly found himself in the light. "He won't hurt you," Ping assured the little boy. "He's very tame and well-behaved," she added for the benefit of her mother, who was staring at the rat with distaste. "I've never heard of anyone keeping a rat as a pet," her mother said. Master Chang shook his head again. "They certainly breed rats big in imperial palaces," he said, as he went out to tend to his oxen. Ping's mother and stepsister went to help prepare the evening meal. Ping looked from the doorway at the rest of her family's home. She was on the second story of a large house. Stairs led down to a neat courtyard that had buildings on all sides. Ping could see three fat pigs in a pigsty and a coop full of chickens. Delicious smells were coming from the kitchen on one side of the courtyard. It was everything a home should be. Liang reached out to pat Hua. His small fingers nestled in the rat's bluish fur. "He's very soft." It was the first time Ping had heard the boy speak. He had a sweet voice. Liang stroked Hua and tickled him behind his ears. He had no fear of the rat. Ping felt a rush of love for her little half-brother. "Would you like to hold him?" Ping asked. He nodded. Ping placed Hua in the boy's lap. "Have you really seen a dragon?" Liang said. Ping glanced over her shoulder to make sure no one else could hear. She smiled down at the boy. "Yes, I had two dragons in my care," she whispered. "One was a big dragon. He was very wise and brave, but he was also very old. He flew away to the Isle of the Blessed. The other was a baby dragon. When he was happy, he made sounds like someone playing a pretty tune on a flute. Sometimes he was very naughty. His name was Kai." That was the best way to think about the little dragon, she decided. He was in the past. He didn't exist in her new life. "I don't have any dragons anymore, though," she said sadly.
Were the dragons blue, like the ones painted on our best bowls?
The boy asked. There might be blue dragons somewhere in the empire, but not my dragons. Kai was purple. The old dragon was green.
Ping fished in her silk pouch and pulled out the dragon's scale.
This is one of the old dragon's scales. She ran her fingers over the rough scale. And this, she found the dragonstone shard, is part of the egg that the baby dragon hatched from.
Can I touch it?
Liang asked. Ping put the shard of dragonstone in the boy's outstretched hands. He smiled. He had a tooth missing. The evening meal was served in the room where Ping had woken up. It was the best room, the one where the family received guests, not where they normally ate. The table was set with white bowls covered in blue dragon designs. The maid served three dishes, each made from grain and vegetables grown in Master Chang's fields. Ping listened to the stories of their day. Mei had torn her favorite gown. Little Liang had found a lizard in the courtyard. Master Chang had given a sack of grain to a family whose father was ill. I had an interesting day, said Ping's mother. I found my long-lost daughter. Everyone smiled, even Mei. After the meal, Ping's mother bathed the wound on Ping's head with a soothing lotion. It's healing well, she said.
You must stay as long as you like, Ping, said Master Chang, if you don't mind sharing a mattress with your stepsister.
I'm not having a rat in my room, Mei said, folding her arms crossly.
Perhaps you can put your rat in the barn, suggested Master Chang.
When the two girls were alone, Ping tried to talk to Mei, but she wasn't in the mood for conversation. The only time she spoke was to point out that her hair combs were only made of ebony, not silver. Then she lay down and turned to face the wall. Ping was sleeping under the same roof as her family, for the first time since she was a small child. She felt safe and warm. All her burdens had been lifted from her shoulders. She would stay at her mother's side. She would win over her stepsister and be her friend. She would tell little Liang stories, and he would grow to love her. All these things would come to pass, she was sure of it. She took the dragon scale out of her pouch again and felt its rough texture. She lifted it to her nose to catch its distinctive smell. She held it up in the moonlight, and its dull green color became brighter. It was a souvenir of her past life. Nothing more. Chapter 24 The Tiger Forest. Ping could see the moon through the trees. The full moon. Dark tree branches crisscrossed its face so that it looked as if it had been sliced into irregular pieces. One of the pieces broke off. That's a shame, Ping thought. The moon is broken. It will never be whole again. The slice of moon was falling from the sky. It was getting larger. Ping ran through the trees towards it. She wanted to know where it landed. She wanted to look at a piece of the moon close up. She wanted to see it more than anything. She ran until she came out of the trees into a clearing. The bright light was just above her. It wasn't a slice of the moon at all. It was a dragon. Her dragon. Dancer. I haven't seen you for such a long time.
The anxious lose their guiding thread. The pure and tranquil see harm and are not frightened.
The dragon swooped low, and Ping grabbed one of his paws as he soared up into the dark sky again. Her feet left the ground. The dragon flapped up into the dark night sky. She looked at the shining dragon shape above her. Every scale was glowing like green jade in lamplight. Dancer flapped higher and higher. The darkened world shrank beneath her with amazing speed. She could see mountain slopes below, outlined faintly in the moonlight. It looked like a ghost world. A snaking stream was the only thing that wasn't sleeping. Its serpentine windings were lit by tiny flakes of moonlight as it hurried along its way. Ping had felt like that stream. Always rushing, always striving, never being able to rest, but somehow always staying in the same place. "I can only really rest when I'm up here with you, Dancer," Ping said. "Up here, I don't have to walk. I don't have to think. But I fly because of you." Those who do not leave their beds are not always safe. Do not fear the dangers of the path. Ping's heart soared, but only for a moment. Her fingers stiffened with cold. She felt her grip on the dragon's paw loosen. The moon went behind a cloud. The dragon shape disappeared as if someone had blown out a candle. A rush of icy air told her she was falling. 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 Ping woke from the dream with a start. The dragon scale was still in her hand. Dancer's dream words had never made any sense before. They were just as puzzling as they had been when he was there in the flesh. But this time, his meaning was clear. She'd chosen safety instead of the path that was her destiny. Like a coward, she'd wanted to hide in the comfort of her family's home. She couldn't stay with her family. Jun wasn't the dragon keeper, she was. Dancer had said so. Of all the people in the Empire and beyond, the old dragon had chosen her to take care of his only heir. She wasn't ready to give up that role yet. Her desire to be with her family was strong, but not as strong as her need to care for Kai. She had almost made the same mistake as her mother. The one thing that Ping had blamed her for all the time she'd lived at Huangling. Her mother had listened to someone else's advice instead of listening to her heart. She had given over her only daughter to the care of a stranger. Ping had almost done the same thing. Dongfang Swore had decided that she was no longer the dragon keeper, and she had let him take Kai away from her. The imperial magician was wrong. She would have to tell Yu Zhe. Convince him that she was the true dragon keeper. Ping ate breakfast with her family. She imagined eating with them every morning, enjoying her mother's steaming buns, hearing her stepfather's plans and May's complaints, helping Liang put on his socks. This comfortable family life wasn't her destiny, though. Heaven had chosen a different path for her. "I'll be leaving after breakfast," she said. "You're not going already," said her mother. "Stay longer," said Master Chang. "It's not the season for traveling." She reached out and touched her mother's hand. "It's been my greatest wish to find you. I would love to stay, but I have to return to my duties."
"I thought you said you'd lost the position," May said.
"The bump on my head made my memory play tricks on me," Ping said. "I was just having a holiday. I have to return to Mingyang Lodge." Ping didn't tie her hair up in a knot like Lady An had taught her. Instead, She tied it back in a plait. It's more suitable for traveling, she explained, and gave the silver hair comb to Mei. It used to belong to Princess Yang Xin. I'd like you to have it. She gave the jar of hair oil to her mother and her one gold coin to Master Chang. He didn't want to take it. She knew that the family didn't need more money, but she had nothing else to offer them. It won't make up for all that I would have sent you if I'd known where you were, she said, but it's all I have with me. She stood outside her family's house with her bag over her shoulder. Her mother looked puzzled by her daughter's sudden decision to leave. We thought you'd stay for a few days at least, said Master Chang. I wish I could stay forever, Ping said. She wanted to say more, but she was afraid she wouldn't be able to keep back the tears that were threatening to spill down her face. Her mother took her hand. Mothers know their daughters will leave from the day they are born. Her eyes were filled with tears as well. You just left a little earlier than most. I'm proud of you, Ping. You bring honor to your father's family. Ping hugged her mother tightly. Master Chang told her she was welcome in his house any time. Mei allowed Ping to hug her. Ping bent down and kissed Liang on the cheek. Kai would like you, she whispered. Master Chang gave Ping a bag of dried fruit and nuts for her journey. He told her she only had to walk to the next garrison along the Imperial Road. From there, she would be able to get a carriage back to Mingyang Lodge. Ping collected Hua from the barn and then waved as she walked away from her family. I'll come back and visit you when I can, she called back to them. But she had a feeling she never would. She felt Hua's warmth inside the folds of her gown. She was glad she wasn't traveling entirely alone. The next carriage wasn't due to leave for another 4 days. Ping couldn't wait. She would have to walk back to Mingyang Lodge. Though every step took her further away from her family, it also took her closer to Kai. She searched for the thread that connected her to Kai, but it eluded her. As she walked, Ping thought about what her mother had said. She was only a girl. Of course her mother would put the welfare of a son before hers. And she was right. Even if she had stayed with them, in a year or two, Master Chang would have found her a husband, and she would have been sent off to live among strangers. It was better this way. Her mother believed that Ping was happier than she would have been if she had stayed with her. Even so, Ping had lost something. Through all her hardship at Huangling, she had always had a tiny hope in her heart. She had dreamed that one day she would find her mother and be able to stay in the warmth and comfort of a family. That small hope had disappeared. Whatever her future held, that wasn't it. But that hope had been replaced by certain knowledge of where her path lay. It hadn't been the family reunion she was expecting. But Ping didn't feel sad. She knew her mother was safe and well. She had a half-brother, a stepsister. She didn't have to worry about them. Master Chang would take care of them. It felt strange to have no one to look after but herself. Ping could think about things without dragon words interrupting her train of thought. There had been so many times since Kai had hatched that she had longed to have a break from dragon rearing. To have a few days without the baby dragon's nonsense in her head, without being jumped on and scratched. Now she had that freedom, she felt like an arm or a leg were missing. She missed Kai's voice in her head, his happy sounds as he ran around the garden discovering new things, his spine sticking in her side as she slept. She was looking forward to being with him once more. Ping was back on the Imperial Road by the end of the first day. She was sorry she'd left her coat in the carriage. Dark clouds hung low and heavy. An icy wind promised snow. There were a few people on the Imperial Road, but they all bowed their heads against the wind. That suited Ping. She didn't want to waste time in conversation. Whenever she could, she begged a ride from farmers driving carts. 2 days after she had left her family, Ping arrived in a town they'd passed through on the journey to Lulin. The smell of roasting meat diverted her from her straight path to a market stall. It was where Dung Fang Swore had bought a midday meal on their journey to Lulin. Kai had been delighted because the man sold roasted swallow. Ping bought a baked quail with her few copper coins.
"I didn't expect to see you again," the meat seller said.
Ping was surprised that he even remembered her.
"The gentleman stopped at my stall again on his return journey," the man said. "I asked after you. He said that you'd stayed in Lulin with your family. That was the purpose of the journey, so he said."
"How long ago?"
"Must have been 3 or 4 days ago." "He was in a great hurry," the meat seller said. "It was almost dark when they arrived. They bought food to take with them. There was music coming from the carriage. It sounded like someone playing a flute. The saddest tune I've ever heard."
Ping left the town immediately, eating as she walked. She had to get back to the Garden of the Purple Dragon as soon as possible. Dung Fang Swore had lied to the meat seller. The last time she'd seen the Imperial Magician, she hadn't even met her family. She felt a stab of hatred for the old man. He had betrayed her. He was a feeble old man, and even though he called himself a magician, he had no magical powers. "He wanted me dead, and he got the necromancer to do the job for him." She spoke the words aloud to see how they sounded. They didn't sound as absurd as she thought they would. Dung Fang Swore wanted Jun to take Ping's place. Liu Che wouldn't have agreed. He would want Ping to be Dragon Keeper. If she were dead, though, there would be no debate. Each day, Ping walked from before dawn till well after dark. She no longer accepted rides on wagons. She was stronger now and could walk faster than an ox. The closer she got to the Garden of the Purple Dragon, the more anxious she became. She still couldn't feel Kai. She slept less and less until finally she didn't stop to sleep at all, but walked through the night. Hua kept pace with her. At night, he ran beside her. During the day, he scurried through the fields or the bushes where no one could see him. When he grew weary, he climbed up to rest in the folds of her gown. Ping came to a crossroad. She turned off the main Imperial Road and onto the smaller, quieter road that led to the Garden of the Purple Dragon. It had been 6 days since the rockfall. She'd planned to announce that she was the Imperial Dragon Keeper and demand an escort through the Tiger Forest. But when she reached the wall surrounding the forest, the gate was open and unguarded. Perhaps the Emperor had decided that the forest, with its dangerous inhabitants, was deterrent enough to his enemies. She would have to walk through unprotected. Through the trees, the clouds were turning orange. It would soon be dark. In the distance, she could hear the high call of monkeys and the roar of other animals she couldn't identify. Bears, perhaps? She wanted to get back to Mingyang Lodge as soon as she could, but she couldn't risk the forest at night. Ping climbed the steps up into the empty gate tower.